very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up later in the programme, we'll be speaking to writer with the Gaelic Life, Michael McMullen, about Ulster team's involvement in this weekend's All-Ireland Championship Series. Our feature matches, of course, Donegal against Tyrone on Saturday evening. We'll be previewing that game with Michael. We'll also be talking about Derry, his native county, and how things are not progressing that well at the moment for the Oakleaf County. Plus, we'll look forward to the Ulster Minor Final, where Derry are taking on Armagh. That's all on our GAA segment coming up later on in The Score. But first of all, we're going to talk football, and in particular, Finn Harps and Derry City, who have matches this weekend in the First Division and the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. Derry are hosting Sligo Rovers tomorrow night, and Harps are on the road tomorrow as well as they make the long trip to County Kerry to play Kerry FC in the First Division. To look ahead to those matches, I'm now joined by former Finn Harps captain skipper Keith Cowan. Keith, how you doing?
Shane, we're all good.
Well, Keith, I suppose first of all, we'll begin with our own local club in Finn Harps, and the Balbuffet side are on the road. They're heading to Kerry. And before we go to that, just last week, the fixture against UCD. You always like to measure yourself against maybe the top sides in the division. UCD is one of those. And Harps almost had them beat, like to lead three times in the game and then score very late on to go 3-2 up. You thought, right, it's going to be wrapped up here. But then UCD got that late equaliser and stoppage time. And before it, you probably would have said a point was a good result at UCD. But coming back down the road, and you've probably experienced this as a player, that was more of a defeat than it was a good point on the road.
That will probably be the over-residing feeling in the dressing room. Ashing, you know, once you, as like you said, went going ahead so early in the game, first of all, I think it was 16 seconds when Sean O'Donnell opened the scoring. And then you're thinking, right, you know, let's build on that now, and then to concede and then to, you know, go ahead again. Concede and then go ahead again. Late on in the game, I think it was 87th minute when they got the penalty success. Udogun got his second of the game. And, you know, you're thinking, right, just keep it tight now. And it was, I suppose, the manner of the goal as well. You know, it was kind of a Hail Mary from them. Yes, it was a free kick. It was a deep free kick in their half, and they've just kind of launched into the edge of the box, and a header, you know, from the edge of the box straight, you know, into the top corner. You know, could you ask a few questions maybe of the goalkeeper? You know, was he beaten too easily? Should the guy have got a free header? Look, who knows? But yeah, they'll be disappointed with that one. You know, haven't played well in the game. You know, attacking wise, you know, two goals for success. After not having scored for a few weeks, and you know, I think that'll be difficult to take for them. You know, when you're thinking, here's 3 points, as you say, you're measuring yourself against one of the, you know, the obviously top two teams in the league. It would have been a great away win, but look, again, then once you take it into context, maybe a point in UCD isn't that bad.
Keith, 6 goals in 2 games. Harps went through a bit of a patch. I think it was 5 or 6 games where they only managed 2 goals, and all of a sudden they're scoring 3 in back-to-back fixtures, which you have to take as a positive.
Yes, I think so. I think definitely, Oisín. I think, you know, we're kind of heavily reliant there on Tony McNamee for a few weeks. And, you know, one of our midfielders and one of our better players, you want them to chip in with the goals. But as I say, it was great to see success. Getting 2 last week. Sean O'Donnell, you know, getting the goal as well, gets him up and running for the season. It'll give him confidence, you know, starting the game. Young Max Johnson the week before against Longford, getting the goal. So, you know, the fact that there, look, you have a couple of different names on the score sheet, it will give them confidence. Hopefully they can kick on from that now. But, like, you know, you need to be scoring goals. That's what's going to win you games. That's what's going to get you points on the board. So hopefully that last week will give them confidence. It'll give the guys obviously success. Like I've mentioned, you know, he's bagged 2. He's up and running again. So that'll give them confidence heading down to Kerry.
Yeah. Do you expect them to win in Kerry on Friday night then, Keith?
It's not just cut and dry. You know, it's a difficult place to go. You know, teams, yes, look, Kerry have only won 1 game all season, and, you know, that's the proof's in the pudding there. Like, you know, that they're struggling to win games. But They run teams very close down there. It's a difficult place. It's an astro. It's dry. It's, you know, there's bobbly. It's bouncy. It's not an easy place to go and play, you know, a nice brand of football. Look, the way that Harps have been playing this season, they've been quite direct. You know, they've been getting some joy off that on occasions. But look, as I say, it's not just a place where you're going to turn up. And obviously, we have to take the travel into account as well. They're going to be driving down tomorrow for the game, which is a big ask for any team to do that. And, you know, it might play into Kerry's hands a bit. So I think with all things taken into consideration there, yes, obviously we hope that Harps can go and win the game, but it's going to be as straightforward as just turning up now.
Yeah. Well, if Harps were to win, Keith, and if a result goes their way, other results go their way over the weekend, Harps could find themselves third in the table because Wexford are hosting Bray Wanderers. That's fourth against sixth. Harps are currently fifth on the same amount of points as fourth place Wexford. But probably the tie of the first division this weekend is third place Athlone against UCD. And if UCD was to take a one in that and Harps were to win and the other results go their way, obviously I'm speaking hypothetically here, but Harps could find themselves in the top three after the weekend.
They could, and it's quite impressive if they do that. It's even more impressive your math skills there, Ash, that you're able to put all that together off the top of your head. Look, I think it's great. I think if they can go there and, you know, obviously do their job first of all, and everything else falls into place. But look, it's a bit early in the season to be worrying too much, you know, of those permutations in terms of climbing up the league. Yes, look, you want to stay in touch with the top two or three. Cork look to be kind of, you know, steamrolling the rest of them. I think they have a 10-point gap on second at the minute. So, look, yeah, it's just about keeping in touch with the teams around you. I think they may maybe have Wexford next week as well. So, look, I think the focus will be, you know, trying to get 3 points this week. And whatever happens around you, you know, you can't really control too much of that. As I say, it's just about staying in touch with the teams beside you. And again, obviously beating the ones that are well below you. And I think that'll be the main focus for this weekend.
Yeah, so those other games this weekend, Cork City play Treaty. As we said, Wexford take on Bray Wanderers. Athlone are hosting second place UCD and on Saturday, Longford Town against Cove. You mentioned Wexford's going to be next. That's at Finn Park on Friday week, the 31st of May. And I suppose between that and the break, which is coming in and around the 20th of June, off those four fixtures, three of those are at home for Harps. So you talked about keeping a bit of pace and maybe sticking with the top two and staying in touch. That could be a good period to consider that and take that into consideration and try and make the most of your three out of four home matches.
Yeah, you'll want to do that, definitely. Again, I think from what we've seen this season, there aren't really many easy games in this league. You know, Wexford at home, yes, Athlone at home, they're going to be difficult games. You know, Wexford with a physicality, Athlone have a big goal threat. So yeah, you have your home games and you want to be winning them. But again, as I say, it's not just going to be as simple as that there. Look, you have to look at home form and it is really important. But again, I don't think Harps will worry too much how or where they pick up their points. We spoke about it and it's been spoken about the difficulty of the surface there, you know, how it's not really conducive for maybe playing a bit of football, that, you know, Harps definitely have the players to do so. So hopefully with the improvement in the weather, the pitch is starting to improve and they can look to maybe impose a bit more of, you know, not free-flowing football and just kind of you know, use one of those terminologies that, you know, is spoken about in the game. But yeah, look, they'll want to try and play a better brand of football. They'll want to try and play to their strengths and not just maybe be so direct. So hopefully now those home games leading up to the break, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Premier Division. Are you enjoying the fight at the top of the table? Shelburne currently four clear of Derry, who are two ahead of Shamrock Rovers. That's the top three. They all played on Monday night. Shell scoring late to beat Pats. Shamrock Rovers taking victory against Derry City. It's a joy to watch at the moment at the top of the Premier Division, Keith.
It definitely is. You know, but I think we were kind of maybe, we just had a spoke about it at the start of the season. It was going to be Derry or was it going to be Shamrock Rovers or, you know, the two horse race and which one was going to go. And then so all of a sudden the season starts and Shell's just, you know, are on fire and just you're kind of maybe waiting for them to slip up, but every, you know, most weeks they're churning it out and they did it again at the weekend, or sorry, on Monday night there. And then obviously, you know, the Rovers thing that always starts slow at the beginning of the season, but then kicks into gear, you know. So it is, it's exciting to have a three horse race at this stage and not just be thinking about the other two.
Yeah. Well, Shelburne are playing Shamrock Rovers, obviously, at the Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night, Friday. This is a big game. How pivotal will this game be in the season at this stage, do you think, given the fact that it's third versus first? It's the defending champions against the current leaders.
I still don't think at this stage of the season. Yes, it would create a bigger gap for Shells if they were to win. But I just don't think that those games at the moment, because they are taking points off each other, and you know there are the odd game then where someone will slip up. I don't think Rovers would like to lose any more ground. But the thing about it, all three of those teams this year will have European competition to think about. And, you know, in round that time, that's when, you know, teams can slip up, because you're going to have to play maybe three games in a week. Obviously your league schedule, and then if there's travel involved. So that's kind of the area of the season where teams will, you know, be worried about dropping points against, because then obviously if they have a rearranged game, then it could be through in on a Monday night or a Tuesday night. So that's the time of the season where it's going to be difficult. But then look, obviously, like, these teams are full time and they've got big squads and all that there. So I think this early in the season, it's not going to be that big of a deal if there was someone was to drop 3 points this weekend.
Well, Derry City could find themselves closer depending on what happens at the Tallaght Stadium. Derry are taking on Sligo Rovers. Obviously, they'll be hugely disappointed with defeat to the Dublin Rovers on Monday night. But they're going in against the Sligo side, whose form hasn't been great. They're just sitting 3 points off the bottom two. And Rory Higgins would be looking at his side going, right, we can get ourselves together here. Let's regroup again. And this is a very, very winnable fixture at home.
Yeah, they'll be looking to get the 3 points. You know, after the Rovers defeat there on Monday night, I was looking through the X there, obviously formerly Twitter, and you know they had this post saying one loss in seven, a self-justifying one loss in seven. You know, obviously they haven't, you know, said it was four wins in seven. They didn't put that in there. So there's kind of this maybe defense or trying to defend themselves. That look, we went to the Tallaght Stadium, we didn't get, we were only beaten 1-0. It was a very tight game, but you know, it just shows you there with Derry missing Pat Hoobin, I think they missed through suspension there on Monday night. You know, without him, he's got 9 goals so far this season. You know, obviously their talisman, a great signing for them, and you know who they were really hoping would propel them forward. You know, without him, they're just not really clicking. They won 1-0 at Pat's, you know, before that at the weekend. But I just think without him, you know, they're just a different side, and they can, you know, they just haven't got that threat. They depend on him a lot. Look, obviously, Sligo have started really well. You know, when we spoke about earlier in the season that maybe we thought they might struggle, they started like a house on fire, been absolutely brilliant. They got Max Mata in, and the New Zealander, they got him on loan from Shrewsbury there just at the close of the window at the start of the season. He came in, a couple of goals for them, you know, done really well, but now he's gone, and you know it does seem to have dried up there, that bounce, that early, because they got so many players in late on in the transfer window, and maybe that's just you know, that bounce or that energy that you can get from a new group coming in and being together has maybe sort of dried up a bit, and they have been struggling of late. Look, it's going to be a big game. There's a derby game, Derry and Sligo. So, yeah, hopefully it does create a bit more atmosphere. Sligo will be looking to try and bounce back, but as will Derry, and they'll be thinking they'll be able to get the job done on the brand new.
The other two games, Galway are facing Dundalk and Bohemians are taking on St Patrick's Athletic. What have you made of the return of Stephen Kenny to St Pat's? Two games in, two defeats. He's a bit of rebuilding to do, does he?
Yeah, it was just when I mentioned there about, you know, the energy it can bring from someone new coming into a club that hasn't really seemed to materialise for for Stephen Kenny. I think if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. Look, I think he sees potential there. He thinks there'll be, you know, big investment there coming. And, you know, his record in the League of Ireland speaks for itself with Derry, with Dundalk especially, you know, taking them to Europe and stuff like that. So, look, I think he sees a project there that, you know, that he can help them with. And, you know, it's a great club, Pats, and, you know, a great fan base. And, you know, they'll be hungry for success that they've had previously. So, look, he could be the right man for the job. I think, obviously, it's just the expectation of having him back that everything's just going to be perfect. No, it's still going to take time for him to get the players that he sees that are going to help the club move forward. And that could take a bit of time.
And just finally, Keith, I suppose from your own point of view, what's on the horizon for you next? Obviously, Derek View, things didn't go according to plan in the Irish League, suffering defeat in that relegation playoff as the club dropped down to intermediate level. You're going into a close season now. What's your thinking and what's the plans going forward?
I suppose when you take the break or when the break comes, you sort of, I suppose, analyze and, you know, take stock and, you know, see how the body is and that. But, I feel good. You know, I was able to, you know, turn out for Derek View almost on every occasion this year. I think it's something, maybe have I done enough traveling? Have I been around enough? You know, who knows if an offer came or something that interested me, then we could maybe take a look at it. Other than that, you know, there's some local football happening, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for football in Donegal. So who knows? Look, we'll have a few conversations anyway, and we'll see what happens. And whenever I make my decision, you'll be the first to know anyway.
Well, you know what? No, I'm thinking we make it the Highland Radio charity football team back together again. There'll be a place in that maybe for you. We'll get John Breslin to resurrect it for next season.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Hopefully, I'll make it a game.
We'll slot you in somewhere. Listen, Keith, as always, it's good to catch up. Thanks for joining us this week on our League of Ireland chat, and we'll be speaking to you again soon.
Top man, Ashley. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Always good to catch up with Keith Cowan. Just some standout fixtures soccer-wise here in the Northwest this coming weekend. Both are on Sunday. The Brian McCormick Cup Final is on at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. It's Letterkenny Rovers against KG Rovers. We'll have updates, second half updates from that game on Sunday Sport. And we'll also have updates from the Donegal Signs Challenge Cup Final down in Inishowen, where the top two in the peninsula are set to go head-to-head again. That's Buncrana Hearts and Cockhill Celtic are playing out that decider, and we'll also have updates from that game on Sunday. Okay, time for a commercial break here on The Score. When we return, we're talking Gaelic games, and in particular, Donegal v Tyrone.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score programme. Time now to focus in on Gaelic games, and we'll be talking Donegal against Tyrone shortly, because Balbuffet will host that opening round game for the sides in the All-Ireland Series, and we will have full live match commentary as from the 7:15 throw-in here in Highland. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney. We'll also have the build-up before 7 from the match as well. To talk about that and a few other things, I'm now joined by writer with the Gaelic Life, a Derry native, Michael McMullen. Michael, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Ashi.
Before we look forward to Donegal against Tyrone, what's going on in Derry, Michael? Your native county have lost back-to-back championships, and from a couple of months ago being seen as All-Ireland contenders after you won the Division League title, you haven't won a game since. What's going on in the Oakleaf County?
A very disappointing trek home from Galway, I must say. A lot of thinking done. And things definitely aren't looking good in the Oakleaf County at the moment in terms of, as you say, we've lost two championship games. And the Donegal game, let's face it, was a 6-point hammering, to be fair. And then at the weekend, when you pick through it, we actually played quite well in patches. But the game come down to two moments. The first one was the setting off of Gareth McInnes. It put any plans Derry had, he just put them in the fire more or less, because they needed 15 men to stop Galway working the ball out short. So that changed it. And then whenever they did find a way back into the game, Oisín, then Sean Kelly's goal early in the second half. That was the second kick that they got. So it leaves them with an Armagh game, a very, very important game in terms of an All-Ireland series. The performance in Galway was pretty good at times, as I've already said, but the major concern is the strength of the panel. You know, four or five injuries last weekend. Derry had only 24 players togged out. You're allowed to tog out 26 with injuries. And they had to call in three under-20s to the panel. So it's very much threadbare in terms of experience. The five players who are unavailable have 64 championship appearances between them. The nine subs that Mickey Hart was able to look at last weekend, they had a combined tally of 15. So that's the level of experience, and that would be the concern going forward. But the positive side of it, Oisin, is that potentially you might get Owen McAvoy back available again and Cormac Murphy available. They were doing the warm-up before the game with the strength and conditioning coach. And the fact that there was positives out of the game, but, you know, in terms of the big picture, it'll be very difficult to see them winning Ireland with a panel that's starting to creak.
Yeah, and when you lose one championship game, it's hard to bounce back, Michael, but when you lose two, it's even harder. And Armagh will be looking at it, and they'll be thinking to themselves, this is a Derry side that we can tick now, because they've lost any sort of momentum they had during their league campaign heading into the championship. That's now gone.
It definitely is. Now, I know they have to obviously worry about Westmeath first, but we're talking Derry here, you know, obviously this evening here, but like you were there in Clonus, you saw how disappointed Armagh were. It was obviously well documented. They went to penalties twice and lost. It was sheer Donegal elation. But you're probably sitting thinking, as a Donegal man, where does Armagh go now? So now they're going in. Derry actually is the team that's lowest to the floor at the moment.
Right.
They're the team that actually have to conjure something, which, as you said at the top of your show, you wouldn't have dreamt it, you know, 6-7 weeks ago.
Yeah, but the Westmeath game now for Armagh this weekend, that's a good enough game for the Orchard County to get back into action again. It's not against one of the top sides in the championship. So the management of Armagh will be thinking, right, this is a good positive way for us to get back on track again.
It is, because I think they get any draw, you automatically want to avoid a Dublin or a Kerry. I think that's what everybody in Ireland wants, to be fair. And the other thing, Oisin, I think, which is invaluable, is that it is Westmeath again. Like last year, Westmeath, you know, they had them to the pin of your collar, and that's no under, you know, that's no overestimation there. Like, that was a really, really tough game, and they got out of it by the skin of their teeth. So, if they have ambitions of winning All-Ireland, if they can dust themselves down from the disappointment of losing to Donegal, that match leaves them in a perfect position where Kieran McGinney will be able to have his players in the palm of his hand and say, lads, we know the story with Westmeath. Let's get our game faces on. So if they get through that, they're back in the pile.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on what will be our feature game here in Highland on Saturday night. It's another derby of Ulster sides, Donegal against Tyrone. We'll have full live match commentary here on Highland as from the 7:15 throw, and I'll be joined by Brendan Devaney and Martin McHugh. These two sides are set to meet again in the championship. It was a very, very cagey affair at the semi-final stage in Ulster, Michael. Is it going to be the same sort of cagey fixture, tight, very, very cagey? Both sides, I suppose, trying to figure each other out. There was big spells where they were trying to break each other down. Is it going to be that same sort of very, very tight affair again that we're expecting on Saturday night, the way we'll see on Saturday night?
I feel it will be. I have to admit, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going down and tasting the atmosphere of what this is going to be. It's a big game. They're two massive counties in the landscape. You might say there's not as much pressure because it's the group stages and there's other days ahead and all that sort of stuff. But for me, any team who wants to win on All-Ireland, in my opinion, needs to finish top of the group. That's just the way I see it. I know you might finish second and have a decent panel where you can get through the preliminary quarterfinal, but the natural progression is match, week off, match, week off. That's the general thing managers want. So to answer your question, I think this is a high pressure game from the point of view is, you know, I know there's other equations in the mix, but the winner of Saturday takes a massive step towards top of the group. And this is where I think it brings a bit more intrigue. And as you said, Oisin, the game in Celtic Park, you know, in the semi-final of Ulster, it was a brilliant game. And I remember sitting thinking with 10 minutes to go, because I had, as I say, I had fancied Derry or Donegal to win Ulster. And I remember thinking with 10 or 15 minutes to go, it was all Tyrone. And a couple of moments in that game stuck out for me was the time Oisin Gallen didn't get the free. I remember thinking, this is slipping. And the one where they tried to overplay the pass, I think it was to Pattern Mogan and got coughed up by Aidan Clark's interception. I remember thinking, that's it, gone. And look how fine a line it came down. Ryan McHugh's shot was half blocked and then ends up over the bar with McCall. So I see it going all the way this time. I saw the footage of Donegal's homecoming. I saw the fans on the pitch afterwards and the sheer emotion, like trying to interview players when it's so congested and Clonus, like there's an unbelievable boom there. But what I do remember, Oisin, is we had that in Derry last year, and we have Monaghan came to Celtic Park in the first group game and ended 14-all, I think, 14 or 15-all, but it was a really good game. And Monaghan took an awful pacing from Derry in the Ulster series. So the question, I suppose, for Jim and the management team will be, can we come with that spark? Or is there a danger that there will be a flatness? It's hard to know. But that will be the concern from Donegal people, because let's face it, they're on the crest of a wave. Looking in from the outside, you have to be envious of the sheer, you know, energy there is around the county.
Yeah.
And will Jim this week be worried that, you know, what happens if we can't bring that to the party on Saturday? Because, you know, they know it's going to be an awful test.
Yeah. But there's an... It's expected now that Jim and the group of players will be able to bring that level again to the party, because some will say, right, you have serious momentum here. And Jim McGuinness has always said this, you have got a coveted Ulster title, and that means so much. Yes, there's been a 2-week break to the next game. They would have liked 3 or 4 like in the older championship series, but that's not the case. But in saying that, when you are carrying momentum and you have wins on your back, it takes the pressure off the group a bit more. Flip that over to Tyrone. Is there more pressure on Tyrone because they have lost at the hands of Donegal? Yes, they've had a bigger break in here. But if they don't perform and they don't get a win, that's back-to-back championship defeats for the Red Hand County. And they'll be finding themselves in a similar situation to what Derry is. And that's not what their group and supporters will want, Michael.
No, definitely not. And they'll probably, you're talking there about back-to-back defeats. Like, they're probably wondering how they didn't close out the game in Celtic Park. You know, they'll be thinking, and again, maybe it's a wee bit like Armagh. When, as I say to Sean,
is that a psychological advantage, Michael, for Donegal then?
I think so. That's what I was about to say to you. Like, you see, when there was 4 points on it, Sean Casey, a colleague of mine in the Gaelicleith, he's an Armagh man. I says, look, it's looking like Donegal are coming to Celtic Park in the championship. It was all Armagh. But you see, when Donegal are back to 2 points, Oisin, I actually said to Sean, you just need to get the next point here. Because it was nearly a case of, oh my God, we've outplayed Donegal, but they're still here.
Yeah.
You know, the animal is still with us. So it just seems to be, and it's something that you can't put your finger on. Like, I'm watching that documentary on Netflix or Amazon about 99 about Man United that season. Sometimes whenever you get into that groove where you expect to come back. And I think that's where Donegal are now. Like, and I was thinking about it when you were chatting there. Has it got to the case now where Jim can sit the boys down in the lecture theatre and convoy and say, lads, we've played 2 championship games where we should have lost, but we didn't. Tyrone had us, Armagh had us, but they didn't really. That's a brilliant situation to be in. Because they've obviously, I would imagine, they have so much improving to do, they will think. And they've got the shiny angle Celt sitting in the cupboard beside them, so they're in a great position. But as it says back to you, as long as it doesn't eat into it and they become flat, I think that's their biggest obstacle. And I think if you'll maybe know the stats more than I will here, but just the home record at Balbuffet, like, was it Mayo brought it to an end there last year or something, but it was a long standing statistic where they were so difficult to beat at home. Add that in as well.
Yeah. What can Tyrone bring different to the party on Saturday if they're gonna win this? Because they were very, very rigid in what they were doing in the semi-final in Ulster. Do they need more out of Darragh Canavan? They definitely need more out of Darren McCurry off the back of that semi-final, because he sort of was non-existent in the second half of it. So he was. If Tyrone get them players firing, will that cause Donegal serious problems?
It will, but I think they need to have them firing in a different zone of the pitch. We're talking Donegal here, and like, they closed down Derry's inside lane. They closed down Tyrone's inside lane. Like, it's no coincidence that Derry's best player was Ethan Doherty until Kieran Moore went on him at half-time. But Jim obviously says, look, we let you kick 3 or 4 points from out there. And Kieran Daly did the same for Tyrone. Matty Donnelly kicked one, if I remember. I think it was the second half. I can't remember the second half of extra time. But they were shooting from far out. I think Tyrone are going to have to do that, because Donegal's defensive system is brilliant. It's really, really hard to get inside, you know, as Armagh found as well. And to answer your question, they're going to have to try and come up with a few scores from outside the D, outside the blanket, that'll try and draw them out. And if you think back, I'll flip it to you here. If you think back to the one that got them to penalties, where Hatton kicked the ball to, was it Oran Doherty in space? That's where Tyrone need to try and do it the other side, because whenever Donegal are defending on the inside, they need to be able to hit that pocket and get regular scores from there. Should it be, you know, Matty Donnelly? Should it be Canavan McCurry? Try and get them in that zone, because you're not going to get inside. And if Tyrone manage to get inside at any stage of Saturday's game, they need to score that goal, because they're hard come by again, Donegal. So to answer your question, it's a case of just trying to kick from further out and try and draw Donegal out. I think that's what they need to do. And I don't think any of them will be involved, but and I know it's a bigger picture for Tyrone, but the under-20 All-Ireland, they'll hope to get a few out of that. But maybe that feeds into the energy of the senior camp, where maybe some of those boys are in the setup this week, not necessarily to be in the 26, but just to beef it out a wee bit and look around and say, look, we're here for the long haul, Tyrone, you know, so maybe that feeds into, if we can get a win in Ballybuffet, we'll get these under-20s into a summer of football that they could build on for years to come. So maybe that wee bit of energy comes into it as well, even though it's not directly related to Saturday night's game. Yep. But it all boils down to trying to break down Donegal, which is really, really difficult to do, because they're brilliant at it.
And flip that round. I'll flip it round to you now from a Donegal point of view. That's exactly what they have to do with Tyrone. They're going to be trying to draw Tyrone out to create that space where they can kick scores from. But Donegal showed us as well, Michael, in that Ulster final, that they have quality kickers. Like, we're hoping that we're going to see some of the quality of the scores again on Saturday, like what we've seen in that Ulster final from Donegal. But it seems okay that Donegal are comfortable kicking from distance, Michael.
They do. Like, obviously, there's McBrady on the loop, who, like, I remember that point he sunk Derry with. Like, he can kick from that range. Kieran Thompson's a really good kicker. And Oisin Gallen, some of his kicks was unbelievable. And then that's before you go into the Niall O'Donnell situation, where he was kicking from way outside the cover. You know, so they have that as well. And they also, as Patton proved, they probably have a... He probably needs more credit for what he does on an attacking foot. Like, a lot of people would say Sean Patton's not the playmaker that a Morgan would be or an Ethan Rafferty would be, but it's actually proven the opposite. He's well able to go out and pick those passes, albeit not as often, but they do have that. And the other thing about Donegal trying to do it, they know that they can take chances and go into those pockets because of one man, Caelan McGonigal. He's been such an addition. So no matter what they do, if they go to try and take a chance by pushing the extra man forward, you know, they know that we've got a man here that's going to just mind the house. You know, and I think that's, you know, he's probably been one of the most unsung heroes for Donegal, you know, and that there will give that flexibility. And then another part of your question is, they put Seanie O'Donnell and Ryan McHugh. Like, if somebody told you Ryan McHugh was going to be as quiet in the Ulster final and Ulster semi-final, you'd be thinking, we might struggle. So look what he did to Derry. So if they're able to get him on the ball a lot more, and if you notice towards the end of the Ulster final, he was urging forward. You know, he ended up in those zones. So it's getting more out of him, you know, and it's easier said than done because he's now a marked man, which is a compliment for him. He's a marked man. So team, you know, he's maybe going to have to try and carry the ball deeper or something to try and shake off that marker. But and it probably then leads us into the other debate. Does he start Patrick McGrady or not? You know, I don't think he can, because I think he's offering so much coming off the bench. Because I think the way Donegal play, Oisin, it's going to be Brennan, or it's going to be McBrady, or it's going to be Gall, but it's not going to be them all up front. And that's before you even go into Niall O'Donnell. So I think he'll keep Patrick McBrady again in reserve, and Jamie Brennan. And the other thing I would say about Jamie Brennan's point, to answer your question as well, about what Donegal do, Jamie Brennan's running ability has been savage. He ran Derry into the ground for that goal chance, for their fourth goal, I think it was. And also some of the runs he made, like I think it might have been the one that led to Paddy Rogan being fouled for a free late on. But it came from Brennan running through the middle. And it might have been the turnover that came from the corner where Kieran McGonigal, he pushed in the back, but he got away with it in that corner. Whenever Armagh were chasing that fifth point, you know.
Yeah.
So that was coming up the wing, and that was Jamie Brennan through the middle. So Jim has used the bench quite well, to be fair. And I think the key is, Oisin, is doing that again, having the right men coming on at the right time.
Yeah. So call it on Saturday then. Who's going to be the victor in Balbuffet?
I think I'll go Donegal. As long as they can bring the same energy that they have so far. I've said it twice already to you, and it's probably just the fact of knowing what Derry went through last year when they won Ulster, where it's hangover's too easy a word to use, or it's just we can't find that same spark. And if they can generate that from day dot on Saturday, I would fancy them to come through.
Yeah, they are unbeaten this year. They have literally stormed through Ulster, ticking off the Derry, Tyrone and Armagh boxes. If they beat Tyrone at the weekend, they will top the group, which will, if it pans out right, they'll go straight to a quarter final in the group stages. Michael, in your view, are Donegal at this stage genuine All-Ireland contenders?
They are. But I still fancy Dublin to win it. But what I'm going to say to you is, I'm going to flip it to you. If you were Desi Farrell, who, like, let's face it, Dublin are my favourites to win the All-Ireland. But say, for example, Dublin drew Donegal in an All-Ireland quarter-final or semi-final. Well, it can only be a semi-final or whatever. If you were Desi Farrell, would you want to meet Donegal? So I would say they're the team that would probably ask Dublin the most questions. I would say he wouldn't want to. I would say that Dublin wouldn't want to meet Donegal. I don't think so, because we saw the 2014 factor and things aren't that far away at the moment. So,
yeah.
They're very much in the mix.
There, listen, it's a huge turnaround from last year. Michael, if I asked you that same question 12 months ago, you probably would have thought it was off my head.
You would have. It just shows you the value of momentum. And as a Derry man, I can now see the other side of the coin. Like, I know we're league champions, but we're sitting now where we have so many injuries, where there's question marks. And that's the question marks that was in the Donegal camp last year. Where are we? It just shows you, you know, and it just shows you the value of having a man in the county who's so Donegal. Like, he just seems to have convinced everybody. And the thing about it is, Oisin, he's convinced them we can beat Derry by following the long kick out, win the break, get runners. We're going to do that. And he's probably drummed that in all year. And see, once that happened, no matter what he says, those players will believe him. Because the majority of the players would have been fans in 2012, boys at 10 or 11 years of age, and now the boy they worship is now their manager. So they're going to believe everything that he says. And then, obviously, the Donegal County Board are the same. The Donegal London people are the same. The fans are the same. So all of a sudden, everybody, and I mean everybody, is on the same page. The only funny thing about it is they were so close to not winning those last two games, but they did.
Yeah.
So there's something magical there.
Yeah. You're definitely back on the Jimmy's winning matches bandwagon again, that's for sure, anyway, Michael. So it is. But listen, away from Donegal and Tyrone, and Derry's sort of not going well at the minute, flying the flag in the Oakleaf County is their minors, and they've got a game on Sunday against Armagh. Derry won their fixture earlier in the campaign comfortably against Armagh, and Derry will be raging hot favourites for this one at the weekend.
Yeah, they will be, and you know, they're in their 8th Ulster final in 10 years, which is brilliant. And before we talk about the game, I just think we need to get to the level that Tyrone have got to, because in that same 10-year window, they won 3 of Ireland under-20s. But that's a debate for another day. That's where Derry need to find the bridge. But no, this is an exceptionally good minor team. They were very impressive that day against Armagh, albeit Armagh had them sort of puzzled for about 20 minutes in the first half where they couldn't break them down. And what I do remember about the game, Oisín, it was obviously quite one-sided, but what I do remember when I was writing up my notes afterwards, looking across the pitch and seeing the Armagh management in a huddle just on their own. Both teams were in the changing rooms. The Derry management were in the changing rooms. But the Armagh management was in a wee huddle in the member. I'm wondering what they're talking about. I nearly think they felt they were too defensive that day. You know, so maybe they need to come out and play a wee bit more football and let the boys off the lease. I was surprised they beat Donegal, because I had heard a lot of good stories about the Donegal minor team. I was sort of surprised by that result, to be honest. But now Derry go into the same bracket, I suppose, a wee bit like Donegal seniors, where there's a buzz there with that group. You know, the five or six, I think the seven survivors from last year's All-Ireland winning team, including five starters. So they're involved again, obviously. So they'll have that belief that we know what it takes to win big games. And then it's the question of, is, do we want to win another Ulster? You know, how much do we really want this? Do we want to back it up? So if they can come with that same level of ambition, they'll definitely be favourites. But it'll be interesting to see come Sunday what Armagh do differently. Because it's okay being defensive, but you need to be asking questions the other way. So I wonder, will they have regrets about that? But I'm not in a good position, because I didn't see the Donegal game to see what they did differently there. But no, another Ulster title would be excellent for Derry. And to be honest, I think Damian McAleen deserves an awful lot of respect, because Derry hadn't won an Ulster title at minor level in 13 years before he took over. They beat that Donegal minor team that Michael Carroll and them boys were involved in, Darragh Whale. Like, it was tipped for an All-Ireland. Like, that was a big one that year. Conor Glass and Shane McGuigan were big players in that team. And then the following year, it was Patrick Bogan, Jason McGee, Gavin Mulroney. They beat them in Clonus. But McAleen was in 3 Ulster minor finals. And then he went to manage the seniors. And it was a tough gig. He got relegated to Division 4. And he could very easily went away and thought, look, it's not for me. And it was a tough place at that stage in Derry. Like, Derry were a low ebb, and he came back. He got them promoted back to Division 3, and he stepped away. Rory came in to go to the seniors, but now he came back in with the minors. He put his neck on the block, and he won an All-Ireland last year, so a lot of credit has to go to him. He's a good friend of his own, but park that there. It was a difficult thing to go back, and here he is. He's, you know, Derry's been in 8 minor finals in 10 years, and he's been involved in 5 of those teams. So they're definitely well placed, and they're going in against an Armagh team who I think that's their first time in a minor final since 2014. I'm really sure. So did Donegal beat them in that final year? Donegal won Ulster, did they? Can you remember? Donegal went to All-Ireland final that year. But
2014.
So that's, yeah. So that's where it lies. But and then I saw during the week where Longford had turned over Dublin in the Leinster final. So there's loads of great stories away from Broadway in the GAA scene, and the minor campaign definitely is one of those. But I would fancy Derry, and then you would hope that, you know, 3 or 4 of them would join into the under-20s next year, because that's where they need to start making gains. Because if you look, as I said to you earlier, Oisín, when I was talking about Tyrone, the fact that they've got 3 All-Ireland under-20 titles in a decade, and you know, a few of them will join the, you know, the Niall Devlins and the Kieran Dillies and Seanie O'Donnells. A few of them will join. So Tyrone definitely aren't going away anywhere as a county. But hopefully, from a Derry point of view, come Sunday, that we have another piece of silverware. And I would fancy them to do the job.
Listen, Michael, we've been talking for a long time on tonight's programme. You'd be happy enough with the Derry and a Donegal one then at the weekend?
Definitely, we take both.
Good man. Listen, we'll see you at McCool Park on Saturday evening. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Good job, thanks.
That's Michael McMullen, and that brings an end to the Score programme tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of it, you will be able to listen back in the sports section, the playback sections of HighlandRadio.com. Mark Gallagher will have our next sport here in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.